After controversial and sometimes loud arguments, the Motion Picture Association of America came to an agreement with the distributors of the documentary Bully. An edited version has been re-rated PG-13. The film is now showing nationwide. The documentary tells the story of five kids taunted, abused, even assaulted by their schoolmates, including Alex Libby.
They punch me in the jaw, strangle me, they knock things out of my hand, take things from me, sit on me. They push me so far that I want to become the boy.
We want to hear from parents, kids, and teachers who've seen the film. How does your story fit with what we see in Bully? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation at our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Harvey Weinstein is co-chairman of the Weinstein Company that distributes Bully, and he joins us by phone from New York. Nice to have you with us today.
Nice to be here.
Why did you decide to re-edit Bully after so long refusing to do so?
Well, the re-edits were so minor. The scene in question was the scene where Alex Libby, the boy he just ran an excerpt from, gets bullied, and there are three uses of the F word in that scene. Normally, you're only allowed one F for PG-13. We would not edit that scene at all. There were three other uses of the F word, and so there was six in total, so there was a compromise. So it was we took the three out that were unnecessary, and we left the three in. You know, over the longest period of time, as we discussed this, there was always, they always said to us, just take out the F in the bully scene. And we refused to do that. If you take that, if you edit that scene, you don't have a movie. So my director felt strongly about it. I supported him. You know, I mean, this is a great success for the movie and a great success for the American public. And I think Senator Dodd, you know, Senator Dodd, who's the head of the MPA, negotiated this. He's had a long history of sponsoring legislation, you know, that have been pro-children and watched out for children's rights. And again, he, you know, got involved in this process. He struck a compromise, you know, changed the rules basically for the MPAA, and quality and qualitative decision was made. And that's what won the day.
And former Senator Chris Dodd of Connecticut, as you mentioned, now the head of the MPAA. The scene in question, some F words, as you say, were edited out. But to sanitize
that. Not in the scene in question.
And I was saying, just to sanitize that particular scene, it is critical to the film.
Critical. I mean, you know, and the words are used on screen. You can't have the movie without that scene, because it's what the bully says to the kid. I mean, as the boy is being bullied, you need that language. You need that to be clear. You need to see the intent and hear the intent. You edit those words out, you know what I mean? You don't get it.
And I want to focus on the film rather than the controversy.
Yeah, sure.
But one more question. There have been other instances in the past where the MPAA suggested that you took them on these kinds of issues, whether it was the King's Speech or other ones, for the purposes of publicity. And indeed, Bully has gotten a lot of publicity because of this controversy.
Yeah, I think Bully has gotten a lot of publicity, but that wasn't the... Here's what happened. We got the rating. Alex Libby, the boy who was bullied in the movie, came to appeal the rating from an R to a PG-13. We lost by one vote. Alex really made an impassioned plea as to why he thought it was very important for kids his own age to be allowed to go into the movie theater. So you need a two-thirds majority. It was 8-5, the votes. We had 8-4-5 against. One vote, and, you know, it wasn't the publicity that we generated. There was a young girl who came out of nowhere. Her name was Katie Butler. This is like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. That's how I feel about this girl. She was 17 years old. She was a kid who, when she was 14, you know, came out and said that she was gay. They took her to her locker room. They smashed the locker room on her head and almost broke her fingers. Her mother's a pediatric emergency specialist at the hospital who has seen bullying before. And after they beat her up, you know, she had to move to a different school where she's now doing well. But she has always been an impassioned speaker for these rights on her own. Nothing to do with us. We didn't fund it. We didn't finance it. We didn't do a thing. She started a petition on change.com. And before we knew it, there were 200,000 signatures, you know, in our favor. And before we blinked, there were 500,000. There would have been a million or millions, you know, at the end of the day. So Katie Butler brought the publicity, not the Weinstein Company.
Let's get on to the subject of the film. Why is this particular film, I'm sure all your films are important to you, but why is this one so especially important?
You know, my movies are important on an economic basis, on an artistic basis. This is a soul-searching, redemptive movie. I'm a father of four daughters. I watched this movie and I cried. You know, I'm the tough guy with taste, as the good friends, you know, describe me, and that I'm the tough guy, period, the way others do. But, you know, I'll tell you, I'm a complete wuss when it comes to my own kids. You know, and I'm the guy who gives in, and, you know, which is not helpful sometimes either. But, I love my daughters the way people love their children and, you know, all their friends. And these stories have to stop. You know, we can't have this in our country. We can't be as, quote, civilized as we are and then allow, you know, where we turn our heads, you know, as kids, you know, take a bus and they're frightened every morning. You know, I don't want to belong to a society that does that and then spends billions of dollars on absolute superfluous weaponry.
And I wanted to ask you, nobody who ever rode a school bus, it didn't have to be anywhere near as extreme as what happened to Alex Libby, but nobody who ever rode a school bus did not watch that scene without some twinge of recognition. Did you ride the school bus? Was that you? One side of you?
I didn't ride the school bus, but I can tell you that, you know, we saw scenes of kids bullying each other and we kept quiet because we believed in a culture where we didn't, quote, rat on somebody. So I was brought up to do the absolute wrong thing in that situation. Hey, if you tell on somebody, you know what I mean, you're not cool. You know. So thus by being the ones who didn't speak up, we were endorsing and enabling bullies to exist. I'm not proud of the way I was as a kid, and this was a chance to redeem that.
I wanted to play one other clip because it's not just the kids who have to examine what they do, but the adults. This is a clip from a father and then a response from a school administrator.
Kids will be kids. Boys will be boys. They're just cruel at this age. And it was a continuous fight with them.
The perception that the school is a haven for bullies is just not true. Do we have some bullying problems? I'm sure we do. All school systems do. But is a major overarching concern in our high school? No, it is not.
And that is one of the recurring themes of the picture. Reports pour into principals, assistant principals, and to authorities, even to police officials at the school, and nothing is done.
Not only that, we show them the film. In other words, we show you these kids getting beat up with hidden cameras, and they said, oh, well, they'll grow out of it. This has to stop. There's a law. I'll tell you, it's funny. There's a law that Senator Casey from Pennsylvania has fought for called the School Safeties Act. You would think that in the Congress, in the United States Senate and the Congress, that a law like that would be the easiest thing in the world. Who's against school safety? It seems conceivable, right? It's been 2 years, you know, and this bill has, you know, hit one obstacle after another. So not only, you mean, are these principals and these schools, not good about it, but, you know what I mean, but our own United States Senate is turning a blind eye. This is a movie, that brings a major problem to the attention. And I got to tell you, it's not a movie that you're going to sit there and, and go, oh, my God, this is depressing, because this is optimistic, and you feel like you can make a change when you watch this movie. It's a triumphant feeling to see this movie, so people shouldn't be put off. But when people see the movie, they love the movie. And at the same time, there's great things to be learned by it.
Harvey Weinstein, co-chairman of the Weinstein Company. We want to know if the stories you saw in Bully, if you've seen the picture, are your stories. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. We'll start with Sheila, and Sheila's on the line with us from St. Louis.
Hello, Harvey. You're a legend in your own time. I'm telling you, you're my hero. I've watched everything.
Thank you, Sheila.
Produced. Pete Bennett is a friend of mine. He apparently was part of your early career.
That's correct.
And you supported Michael Moore. Unfortunately, my young son, Adam Mitchell, was bullied because he had red hair his whole life. And he went to film school, and the bullies followed him. And his thesis film was about his attempt of suicide. He passed away on October 30th, 2010. So I'm doing everything I can, like you, to turn this around. It's, we have a bully society. It's like a cancer in our world.
I'm so sorry.
And I'm so grateful to you. I can't even begin to tell you. If it says Harvey Weinstein, I go to it as fast as I can.
Sheila, thank you. You know, and just you know, for your son and all the sons and daughters in this movie, you know, I did it. I must tell you, Sheila, the irony with me is, you know, the first 10 years of my business life, I had a pretty bad temper. You know, so in a way, I always say God works in mysterious ways. So getting somebody like me to fight the cause, you know, I think this is almost a calling, you know, and that's how strongly I feel about it. And I'm so sorry about your boy.
Well, you won Academy Awards with Michael Moore, and I want to see you win more and more, especially for Bully. It takes so much courage to do what you do. I mean, very few people know how much you have to fight for what you have created and accomplished. I'm on your team.
Thank you, Sheila.
Thanks very much for the call, Sheila. We're talking about the film Bully, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Michael on the line. Michael with us from Charlotte.
Yeah, my daughter, Anna, was bullied at one high school, seventh and eighth grade in one school that she went to. So instead of letting her go to the high school she was supposed to go to, I transferred her to another school. And it all started because her brother and her got in a big fight in school. He's a seventh grader, she's an eighth grader, and called her gay. So immediately this firestorm erupted where she'd come home crying, saying the kids are spitting on her, mostly other girls. And her boyfriend, she was actually dating a boy at the time, but that didn't matter to anybody. And she's doing much better at the high school she's at now. She's been in counseling and stuff. But I'm also a teacher who sees things. And, I mean, I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying sometimes it's really hard to stop it. But you have to step in. Like in my class, I've stepped in and said, I don't know what's going on because they'll wait till I turn my back, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But you take both parties that were involved and take them to a principal to try to get a straight answer. And that's or pull them aside and talk to both parties involved.
Well, Harvey Weinstein, there's a scene in the film where a kid is approached by a school official and said, you know, asked to shake hands with the guy who's been bullying him. And Michael, thanks very much for the call. And refuses to do so because he said he's apologizing, but he doesn't mean it. And she says, wait a minute, has he stopped this behavior? Yes, but he does other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think what Michael's talking about, these incidents, they're just so inbred in our culture. And, you know, we've got to make it uncool, you know, to do this. You know, it's funny, I've asked a number of designers, you know, to design T-shirts, and one of them was Rachel Roy, you mean, who has this fabulous line of clothing. And she, you know, put an emblem on a T-shirt and said, I don't date bullies, you know. And she's, you know, beautiful woman herself, Rachel. And I love the idea of, you know, there's nothing stronger than a woman protest, in my opinion. And, you know, and just, you know, we just have to make this culture a very uncool thing to do. And that's I believe, is when it will go away.
Let's go to Tom. Tom's on the line with us from Iowa City.
Okay. I think it's all ridiculous, to be honest with you, because I think we need bullying. And I know I'm going to get a lot of people who disagree with what I'm going to say, but I think we need bullying to build character and build a backbone. Taking your kids out of school because somebody spits on them, you teach them to stand up for themselves. Put all this whining about, oh, my kid's being bullied. I was bullied as a kid. My daughter's bullied as a kid, but I didn't take them out of school because I believe you teach them to stand up for themselves. You spit on me, well, you fight back. Don't sit there and take them out of school because of crime. Don't sit there and whine because they come to you and then you're going to fix the boo-boo. You teach them to be independent. You teach them to stand up for themselves. You teach them to fight back. Because what happens is you give the bully the power, okay? And that's really about it.
It's the victim's fault, Tom.
No, that's what I'm saying. You don't become the victim.
Tom, you're right. You're going to get a lot of people to disagree with you.
And I'll be one of them. Tom, this is Harvey. Isn't it a better idea that we don't even place? We're not talking like how you handle it. You mean it's one of the things. But what we're really talking about is, you know, let's not even have it in our culture. Why should it even be part of what we do? Why should it be part of our actions? Why should we have a knee-jerk reaction that we have the need to bully? I understand what you're saying about teaching your kids to stand up for what, you know, what's right. But also standing up for what's right means getting rid of the idea that our culture even allows that.
Well, I think the issue is, too, I mean, it's an animal-based instinct. You look at every other species, they do the same thing. We are sanitizing ourselves to a point where you have to apologize for everything. You have to, oh, I'm so sorry that I said something that hurts your feelings. Grow a backbone. Quit whining about it. You know, if, for example, the woman who lost her son, I am so sorry to hear that. I had a friend who lost their son as well to bullying. However, that friend who lost his son, in my opinion, was weak. How are you going to sit there and let someone bullying cause you to kill yourself? It is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Tom, I'm going to have to stop you there because we're running out of time, and I'm afraid I might react. Anyway, thank you very much for the call. This briefly from John in Valdosta, Georgia. I've not seen the film, but I'm a middle school counselor. This is all real life to me. Every single day has gotten worse over my 12 years here. Trying to convince adults of the severity of this problem is an ongoing battle. A film that tries to convince adults of the severity of this problem, and kids too, is called Bully. It's distributed by Harvey Weinstein's company, The Weinstein Company. Harvey, thank you very much for your time today. Harvey Weinstein joined us on the phone from New York. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.